All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Good to have you with us on a steamy Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond. July 4th week, yeah, and July 1st. Man, we're already halfway done with 2025. Good to have you again with us over the next 3 hours. We're rock and roll. It has been a morning so far and then some. The traffic is just absurdly insane. Nobody knows how to drive. There's construction everywhere. There's accidents everywhere. It just sucks. It just sucks to have to drive anywhere in the city or in Virginia. Maryland's doing this morning. Virginia ain't doing great, boys and girls. I can tell you that much. Neither is DC. Oh my goodness. But your boy made it in one piece. And AMAC gave us a little help. And now we do the show. Now we do the show together. So here's how we wanted to start the show. As I was driving in this morning, I heard Coach Sheehan with Mayor Muriel Bowser. And listen, she's a politician, remember. Remember first and foremost that she's the mayor of one of the most powerful cities in the world, but she's a politician. And politicians say things that can often be construed in different ways and can often be interpreted depending on how you want to and how you choose to interpret things. They can be interpreted in different ways. Meaning, a politician can say something, and two reasonable, semi-reasonable people could interpret it or read it or understand it in two different ways. So it was basically, hey, we've worked out this perfect deal with the Washington Commanders, $2.7 billion worth of private investment. What are they going to do with RFK? It's going to be another 20 years before they get an investor and something built. And she's not 20 years might be a stretch. 10? It might be. It might be. To do some of the things that people want to do on that property. Besides that, it might be. But that's not really the crux of what got my attention, and I'm sure your attention, those of you that have heard it. AMAC, I think, has got the sound. Do we have the sound right now?
Yeah, we're pulling it up.
So just let me know when it's ready. But Mayor Bowser at the end, okay, and remember, I went to her office and what was this, like mid-April? And I had an hour and a half-ish sit down with other members of the media in a off-the-record Q&A, and we discussed all of the new information that they announced that morning. They gave us a pamphlet, what have you, all of that. Then they had the big shindig, the big press conference with Roger Goodell and Josh Harris and so on and so forth, right? And everything was Shangri-La. Except, again, the D.C. City Council, which votes on whether or not this goes through. Not the constituents, not the people of Washington, D.C. The D.C. City Council wasn't involved in the negotiation, wasn't involved in the July 15th deadline, wasn't involved in the exclusivity period, or anything else that Mayor Bowser agreed to and signed her name and the city's name on the dotted line along with Josh Harris and the Washington Commanders, right? So now everybody says, well, screw the D.C. Council. Who cares if they have questions? Who cares if they need time? They just need to jump. And when I say jump, it's how high, not I can't do it. It's how high, right? So great. That's how you can interpret the whole situation. That's not how a reasonable person, I think, that's not a politician, interprets the whole situation. And I'm said reasonable person, right? I know some of you don't think I'm reasonable. I am beyond reasonable. I'm not a politician. I'm not a fanboy. I want the stadium built. I want the project built. I've been very clear. I think it's a good deal for Washington, D.C., but I think the July 15th deadline is a little bit problematic. So Kevin smartly asked her at the end, hey, Mayor, 1 to 5, scale of 1 to 5, what is your level of concern? So here's how ultimately she responded to a seemingly innocuous question.
that's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for D.C. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I would put my level of concern, because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
All right. So, my headsets didn't pick up the last couple of seconds of that. So she said a 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 5. That's what she said. Now, this goes back to what I was mentioning earlier. A reasonable person could interpret that as, oh my God, alarm bells going meh, 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 or a reasonable person could go, yeah, that's a politician that wants the deal done.
So this July 15th, this is, I guess, where I'm kind of confused about. If they don't get the deal, does that automatically push it back from the 2030 finish date? Or is this just like a...
Well, like a, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But it's possible that they can still miss that right. date and still get it done.
Exactly. What they're saying is basically, if we don't have a vote and approval by July 15th, we can't have the stadium essentially guaranteed to be ready for the 2030 football season and, more importantly, the 2031 Women's World Cup, which they really want and obviously they think they have an excellent shot of, or they've been assured of, one or the other, by FIFA or whoever runs that. They think that it has to be done by July 15th. As we've discussed over the past couple of weeks, I think that's an arbitrary deadline. That's a, hey, we want this done by July 15th because we know politics. But this is my point, is that reasonable people could hear Mayor Bowser go, hey, Mayor, scale of 1 to 5, what's your level of concern that this project doesn't go through? And she says a 4 and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's not going to happen. Or you could go, well, that's just politics, man. That's just words. That's not actions. That's not definitive any actions. That's not an actual deadline-type behavior. That's just, oh, well, the mayor's pretty concerned. Scale of 1 to 5, she's saying a 4, which... Again, when I heard it at first, I was like, oh, that's surprising that she went there, because I thought she would play it nonchalantly. I thought she would play it cool. She did not play it cool. She played it cool the entire interview and cool part of that statement saying, you know, basically, again, it's not about our deal. Our deal is solid.
Yeah.
It's about meeting a deadline. It's about answering all the questions. It's about making sure that everybody's comfortable so that they can sway at least 3 more voters from the previously reported 4 that are on board already with the stadium project. Again, you have to have at least 7 positives, yays, affirmatives in the D.C. City Council. Remember, this is not a thing where, okay, it goes through the D.C. City Council and then it gets submitted on election day or on a special vote for the constituents of Washington, D.C. to vote on. Once the D.C. City Council votes yay or nay, it's either through or it's not through.
Yeah. And now, she said in the clip, she said, like, I'm a mayor, I'm concerned about everything.
I'm a big city mayor, I'm concerned about everything.
Yeah, so.
But, again, when she first said it, I was like, woo, okay. On record, she's saying 4 out of 5, she's pretty concerned. But then I started to think, maybe that's politics. Maybe that's her saying, look, guys, we've worked out this perfect deal. you ain't going to get any better than this. You better do the right thing, or we're going to have a lot of problems and a lot of issues and a lot of things lost and a lot of uncertainty. And I wondered, when you hear that answer and you hear her, the D.C. mayor, on record say 4 out of 5, how does that make you feel? Because I think a lot of people that listen to this show, listen to this station, that are Commanders fans that want this stadium to be built, were not worried in any way, shape, or form. And I keep telling you, you should be a little bit concerned. You should be moderately concerned. You should be at least mildly concerned. And then the mayor just told you 4 out of 5. She's concerned by her own words. But is that politics or is that real? Is that legitimate? Is that a thing where you go, oh, wow, if she's saying that, well, maybe I should be a 5 out of 5. Or maybe I should be a 4.5 out of 5. Or is she saying that because, again, she's a politician. This is her legacy. This is the deal she struck. She doesn't see anything wrong with it. But she's trying to wake up some opponents or some questioneers, if you will. And that's how she's approaching this. So how do you interpret, not where are, I mean, you can add where you are on a scale of 1 to 5, just to use Kevin's menu or spectrum, if you will, or scale. But when Mayor Bowser says she is on a 4 out of 5 on the concern level, that this project will not go through by the July 15th deadline, do you think that's real? Or do you think that's politics? Do you think that's BS? Do you think that's truth? Where are you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just getting rocking and rolling here on a Tuesday, July the 1st, 2025. We'll get into a bunch of other things. Caps continue to make moves. Nats open a big series against the Tigers here in the Navy Yard tonight. We got all sorts of things going on in the NFL and more on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, it's never a bad thing to get a little Prince on a Tuesday afternoon, isn't it? It's hot out there. And Prince still sounds good, even all these years later, right? All right, so here's the deal. Scale of 1 to 5, not 1 to 10, 1 to 5. 1 to 5. And that's what threw me for a loop. Sheehan asked Muriel Bowser, as you just heard a couple of moments ago, what her level of concern is. Hey, Matt, can we play that again, just in case anybody was joining late, which is entirely possible. Sometimes people are running late because of god-awful traffic. So scale of 1 to 5. I don't think the question was in the cut that we played for you, but it was not 1 to 10. That's key. 1 to 5. And Muriel Bowser answered it.
that's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I believe I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for D.C. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I would put my level of concern, because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
All right. So, again, a 4 on a scale of 1 to 5. Not 1 to 10, 1 to 5. Because I think it would be very different if it was a scale of 1 to 10 and she said a 4, people would go, it's not that big of a deal. She's saying, again, whether she's being realistic or not, she wasn't prepared necessarily for the question. It's not like Kevin said to her, hey, I'm going to ask you, have a prepared answer or anything like that. You could see she was kind of caught a little bit off guard. So was that a real answer? Was that a real legitimate concern? Or is that politics talking? Meaning she's concerned mildly, but she's going to amp up the rhetoric so that everyone else gets concerned and everyone else gets in a lather and puts pressure on Phil Mendelson and the D.C. City Council. I personally, this is me, I could be wrong, I don't know the mayor well, I know people around her, I don't know the mayor well. I personally think she is concerned legitimately, and she should be, maybe not quite to the level that she said in terms of the number scale, but she should be concerned. Why? As we talked about last week, Mendelson said, oh, you know, like, we're not going to have the July 15th deadline, but we're going to have public hearings on July 29th and July 30th. And then we will get it on the table soon after. Now, I believe he told Eric Flack that the vote probably wouldn't even happen in August. I believe that was what Flack reported. And if that's the case, then what are we doing here? If they're getting an independent financial assessment study in mid-July, whatever time it takes to process that, then they have public hearings at the end of July. Like, you should be able to get that vote on the table no later than, I don't know, August 10th? How much more time do you need beyond that? Like, I am with them, the D.C. Council, that they should be afforded more time than ultimately they were given. They didn't negotiate that deadline. She did. The team did. So I have defended them in that regard while saying clearly I am in favor of this project. I want this stadium here. It doesn't matter to me where the stadium is. I'm going to go one way or the other if I'm still alive. But it matters to you, number one. It matters to Josh Harris and his group. It matters to Washington, D.C. It matters to Muriel Bowser. It matters to a lot of old school Redskins fans and current and new fans, even though they don't have the same emotional attachment and affinity to RFK Stadium that a lot of us old geezers used to have. Okay? So, again, I am a big supporter, big fan of the project, as I continuously said. I do not think you're going to get any better than this. Maybe I'm missing something. I totally agree with Bowser. But for her to say she's on the concern level about the deal not going through, a 4 out of 5, is pretty alarming. I mean, just to like expand it out, right? That would be like if it was a scale of 1 to 10, she would be an 8 or an 8.5, say, like roughly. Now, again, she could be using that answer to put political pressure on Mendelson, the D.C. City Council, and anyone that is potentially opposed. She could be doing that. Or she could actually be. She could actually be telling the truth. So I'm asking you, you've heard it now twice, which one is it? I believe she's telling the truth. I believe, yes, there is some political pressure here and a political power play. Absolutely. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. But I believe she's legitimately concerned because the team supposedly is angry and hostile and this and that. The team has been doing everything they can behind the scenes. I know they've been going after members of the media to say, hey, man, this deadline is real. Push, 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 push. July 15th, July 15th, July 15th. We can't do it. We can't be ready for 2030 in the fall. We can't get the Women's World Cup. We can't get this. We can't get that unless it is done by July 15th.
And that's the team saying that.
That's the team privately saying that to members of the media. I know that.
Yeah. So, okay. Do you have any thoughts about her saying, because it seems like she's confident in the deal.
She is very confident in the deal.
So for me, I think that leaves me with a sense of more so the latter that you're alluding to of this is a political play. Like, I'm concerned not because anything that we're doing on this side or anything that the team is necessarily doing, but I'm concerned that the powers that play just can't sit down and get along.
Well, no, I see exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is some truth to that, but what she is saying, I believe, or how I'm interpreting it, is, hey, if we get past that July 15 deadline, we lose all period of exclusivity and anything can happen. Meaning they can go back to Maryland if they're pissed enough. If they're angry enough, they can go right back to Maryland and build on the new on the current property, right? So she is saying that we have given ample time for you to process, to understand, to read the proposal, to all the data, all the material. You know that we're not going to get, in all likelihood, a better deal than that. If you can even come close, $2.7 billion worth of private investment and the cachet that a stadium project, an entertainment district brings along. See, that's the other important thing. You might be able, from a private developer standpoint, without being able to sell the land, because that's one part of this, you might be able to get more money eventually. You might. But is it going to have the cachet? Is it going to have the panache? Is it going to have the drawing power that a Super Bowl, that a Women's World Cup, that WrestleMania, that 10-ish Washington Commanders home games, maybe more, 11, 12, what have you, in the right year, is it going to have that panache, that capability to drive more tourism, to drive promotion for the city, and therefore more money for the city? No. You can build a church. You can build low-income or moderate-income housing. You can build a playground. None of it matters. It's not important enough. Stadiums and entertainment districts is what drives that extra revenue. It's what brings tourism, in part, to a city. Just like the monument, just like the White House, just like all of the different things, the museums that are in this city. It drives attention. It drives tourism. It drives entertainment dollar. That's what it does. 133, Team 980, your call straight ahead. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. After a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. All right, the Washington Capitals have been busy this morning. They signed Martin Fierravaara, who missed the entire playoff run and was obviously a big injury, to a 7-year contract extension with an average annual value of $6 million. It starts in the 26-27 season. So overall, for the 25-year-old defenseman, it's a 7-year, $42 million contract extension for Fierravaara. Certainly a good sign there. From the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks are letting go of Damian Lillard, who, of course, had a blown Achilles, and they're also signing Miles Turner to a 4-year contract, and certainly that is shaking up the first day of free agency for the Milwaukee Bucks and changing all the odds. We'll get into that along with LeBron James in just a little while. Also, the Nationals are back home tonight after a day off to debut their AARP jersey patch on an AARP Tuesday. Huh? How about them apples? 6:45 tonight against the surging Detroit Tigers. 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app, and the Nats Radio Network, and that's what's trending. All right, let's get it right out to the phones. I got a Cliff Kingsbury thing I got to get into in the 2 o'clock hour. I think maybe you guys will like the discussion. Let's start on the phones with our guy, Double A, Athens and Annapolis, right here. Of course, AMAC, this thing is still not working. I don't know why. My life is so difficult. Hello, Double A, how are you?
I'm good, and you know, these people could make Linnell Willingham look like a genius slash scientist at all at once. That's how stupid they are. They could get an award for just how awful and dumb they are. First of all, RFK Stadium is not even demolished yet. It's nowhere near being demolished. So even if they have to push it out a month to review it because they got to work more than banker hours and everybody can't take their vacations, they have the time to do it. Secondly, if she's worried on a scale of 4 on a scale of 5, that's the same as an 8 or a 9 on a scale of 10. It's all pointing the finger at each other because they're all lazy and useless to begin with. The council blames her for being late with the budget. She blames the Trump administration for all the cuts, and that's why she was late. They need to cancel their public appearances and all the other things that, you know, you get paid for, basically stealing our tax dollars on their salary, and get in there and get it done. And she even said they won't even listen to her. They won't contact her about what concessions they want to the bill. So it's a failure on all parts, mainly on the council, though. I mean, look at the lady who basically canceled the Wizards and Capitol's new arena that was going to be in Potomac Yards. It was all personal.
Oh, yeah.
It just all, yeah, it's the same thing. So, I mean.
Well, that's why I'm always very hesitant to just automatically believe politicians, because that lady was doing a dance on graves and memes and whatnot because she was trying to make herself feel famous. I derailed Ted Leonsis at Monumental. I did it.
Yeah, I took down the billionaire. Look at me, everybody. And look, she's still the loser that she was back then. So she just, all that money for Virginia was just lost. But I mean, it's just a failure all around. But my first thing that I'll say, and I'll wrap it up, is how can you do anything when the same stadium is still sitting there that was supposed to be torn down 2 years ago because they've drugged their feet with that?
Well, here's the thing. Clearly the time window, AA, it incorporates that, right? They are doing work on it to destroy to bring it down, but they because they're not doing one systematic explosion like we've seen in other places, it is a longer process. So I have to imagine the timeline, that wasn't a big deal. I don't remember it being a big deal when they announced this deal, and maybe I was just sleeping on it and unaware. They are building that timeline in so that shovels can go in the ground, according to their paraphernalia, in the fall/winter of next year, meaning 2026. It's not like just because if they meet the deadline July 15th, that shovels are going in the ground on July 16th or even October 16th. That's not happening. They know that. So part of that is all of the permits and all of the environmental stuff and all of the different things that have to go into preparing the property. But more importantly, to your point, it's also continuing and finishing the destruction of the current RFK Stadium.
I'm looking at it right now online, Chris, on Events DC, where they show a live camera of the demolition. Mm. Okay, this thing's nowhere near coming down anytime soon. So to your point, hopefully shovels in the ground next year. A month delay is not going to destroy the stadium.
Right.
It's the lazy ass people that get paid these salaries, okay, that's holding all this up, that just won't get in there and get it done. If it's a dollar a year taxes that they're going to pay, as opposed to the homeowners that pay thousands of dollars, then get in there and get it worked out. But this is a total human failure, nothing more, nothing less.
Gotcha. Appreciate it as always, my friend. Thank you. We'll let you run on that. Let's get to Little in DC next up, right here on the Team 980. What up, Little?
Rooster, Cockadoodle Doo.
How are you,
Dave Mac? Let me help Aphis out. Was it Aphis, Aphis, the AAA, whatever you call it? That's kind of harsh words you're using, buddy, when you say dumb and stupid. I'm from this city, man, and I'm proud of my city.
He's talking about some of the politicians.
Yeah, I know he's talking about the mayor making decisions, right, and they land back sitting on their bus and things ain't moving. You know who get ready to make things move? My president, my gangster president, he get ready to step up, man. And make, you know, I'm going to tell you why? Because when you got countries coming to your city, they paying federal taxes. He want that big show to come here. The world thing, when you got cities coming to cities, they got to deal with the city. So I've been dealing with this city. I'm telling, hey, Mac, Fuddruckers brought us out, Rooster. You know what I'm saying? Because Fuddruckers on 7th Street, they was able to...
All right, no offense, I can't really get into your own personal business here. I'm confused.
They got the diary
right
in the...
Okay, I'm confused on what you're talking about, though. You're talking about your gangster president or whatever the hell you called him. You're talking about countries coming here. Are you talking about for the Women's World Cup, or are you talking about something else?
There you go, for the World Cup. Whenever you got countries coming to your
okay
city, they going to pay to the federal taxes. Trump
sure
don't want to miss that money.
Sure.
Trump don't want to miss that
okay
money.
You realize that unless he's greasing the skids of the D.C. council members, which maybe is possible, They're the ones that are voting on this, not Muriel Bowser, not Trump, not his cabinet, not anybody. They're the ones. So he's got to essentially do something illegal in order to get them to sway their vote, no?
I want to call his name out. Trump will sit down with the old timer right after the 4th. Because what they're trying to do is get that money together. Park Service don't clean up no more. They got to get contracts to clean up on the 4th of July. You know, Roosevelt, when I first went to the federal government, I used to cut the grass at the White House at the Lansdowne building. That's when I first come out of the service. I used to cut the grass over there, and Carter was the president. That's how long I go. I know, and look, it's powerful people in powerful places, man.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trump get ready to get this thing moving right after they do this cleanup, and watch what I tell y'all. Anybody want to bet? I got money. I got plenty of money now. Come on, jump in. Come on, holler at me.
All right.
You want to bet this thing don't get rolling before the 15th? Let's go.
All right. Thank you, Little. I appreciate it. Little thinks he's calling WMAL. Listen, that ain't our area of strength here. We barely can do what we have to do. But we have to talk politics all the time and budgets and money all the time because that's what sports has evolved into or devolved into. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I tell you what, to be fair to Darren, hang in there. We will get you right up on the other side. I just want to give you enough time. I want to stay on clock. I'm looking at some of the pictures right now of the updated demolition. I mean, I pass the stadium every once in a while, and sure, it doesn't look like a whole lot of big stuff is going on, but again, because they can't destroy it in one big press of a button like they do in Vegas for all the hotels, like they did the old Kingdom in Seattle 20-ish years ago, like they've done for so many other stadiums and complexes, because they've got to take it apart basically piece by piece, you're not going to obviously see a major difference for a while. 301-230-0980. How concerned are you on a scale of 1 to 5? Mayor Bowser said 4. A 4. Is she a politician or is she legitimately fearful that the deal is not going to go through and that Washington, D.C. is going to lose a great economic engine driver? And I think she's legitimately concerned. I think there are some politics at play, but I think she's legitimately concerned. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, more Prince, huh? Am I sensing, am I sniffing a theme here on a Tuesday, a start of July? Maybe.
We got a little debate before the show.
Oh?
Michael Jackson versus Prince.
Who had this debate?
Me and Jeff.
Jeff Walker.
Yes.
One of the times that he was coming over here to check on his car not getting towed?
No, this was while I was like right outside in between the two studios around where Ty Guy is sitting.
Uh-huh. So you and Jeff got into a debate who's better, Michael Jackson or Prince?
Yeah.
And you, by the choice of your music, is saying Prince. Are saying Prince.
Yeah, no disrespect to Mike, but you know, I appreciate the fact that Prince was like writing his music, arranging his music. And was kind of doing it himself.
Yeah.
And I think just, this is even hard to say. Mike has hits. Like, I can't say hit maker because he didn't write all of his stuff or arrange all of his stuff, but he is a great performer.
Basically, what you're saying is Prince was probably a better musician.
Yes.
Overall.
An artiste. Yeah.
As opposed to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not educated enough one or the other to choose. I like both, and I like the music of both. But I mean, yeah, if you're writing and arranging your own music,
yeah,
as opposed to just stepping in poop and coming out smelling like roses, I mean, you got to give a little tip of the cap to Prince, right?
Yeah, I would think so. But I mean, Mike is amazing too.
Yeah,
like some of those albums are just like. You press play and you're just like hit after hit after hit after hit.
Some of the greatest music of all time. I mean,
You
can't, you know, what?
Relax. I thought you were about to go into this like, back in that day, back in my day, it's just not like this anymore. I thought we were going down.
Oh,
that
you were
road.
All tense that I was going to talk about how music was great back then and now it sucks, right? I mean, is that what you were trying to avoid? That music was great back then and now it stinks?
And then by trying. trying to avoid it. Inevitably, we're here.
Yeah, it's a shame that you just walked right into that elbow that I just gave you.
Yeah, it's a persistent one.
How'd your fish fry go last night?
Oh, we got to talk about that at some point, but...
Anyway, let's get back to it on the phones. Let's get to line three, Darren in Southeast DC before the top of the hour. Darren, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
Hi, all is well.
Good.
I just wanted to say I want to piggyback help Little out a little bit because I understand where Little was coming from. I'm a native of Washington, D.C., too. Didn't vote for Trump. Don't want to be about political stuff. But I do believe we see that Trump, my points are really about Phil Mendelson, but I'm going to say this real quick, and forgive me if my nose is stopped up, so I got a cold, so if I sound a little crazy, forgive me.
Well, I hope you feel better. Let's try and, as much as we can, eliminate the crazy.
Yeah, I know. So thank you, Rooster. But listen here, Rooster, this is my thought on what Little said, then I'm going to talk about Phil Mendelson real quick. But I believe Trump has showed us that he does want the deal done. He showed us that. I believe he probably runs the biggest hotel on the waterfront because we all know him. If he did want to get the deal done, if he did want to be a Bogart or whatever he Little called him, a gangster or something, it would be very easy for him because D.C. is a federal city. He could fire the city council tomorrow and bring in his own control board. But that being said, I want to talk about Phil Mendelson. Phil Mendelson is grandstanding once again, like he has done for so many years. And he has a disdain for anybody that come from that Anthony Williams street. Well, he was with Barry for a little while until Barry started doing weird things and he fell off of Barry, stopped supporting him. But Barry had such a great following, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't run for mayor. Every time he got an exploratory committee together to see if he could run for mayor, you know, the answer was the people don't like you. He found a niche where he can be somebody, and that was council chair, maybe about, I might be wrong, 15 years ago or something like that. But in any case, they got two cronies that he supported to get on the council also. I'm not going to say their names. But I'm just bringing us up to date. And out of that Anthony Williams tree that brought in the gentrification and the business community came Adrian Fenty, Pratt Kelly.
Right.
But I'm
confused.
They all are from the Anthony Williams tree.
Okay.
So he always does this when a big deal comes up. It's going to get done. But this is his moment.
He has said on the record that it will likely go through. They realize they're not getting a better deal.
Yeah.
They realize it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he is asking for more time. Now, I will also say this. Last week he was saying, hey, man, we got to have the public hearing at the end of July, and I'll get it on the table right after that. Now, apparently, it's not going to be in August. Well, I'm like, hey, listen, July 15th is one thing. You didn't negotiate that, but you damn well better get that on the table early in August. Yeah. You damn well better get it. This isn't like where we can wait until next January.
These are pages from an old playbook, Rooster. It's going to get done. And thank you for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you. That was an interesting political history lesson. I mean, some of those names I don't know. Obviously, some of the names I do know. You know, Mayor Williams was very involved, from my memory, in the whole Nationals Park thing. Again, this deal, when they announced $2.7 billion worth of private investment, I said to myself that morning, I said, oh my God, I can't believe I'm sitting here and this is the private investment. It was way higher than I thought it would be. They ain't getting a better deal than this. So to Bowser's perspective, you better not screw it up. It is Bobby Bonilla Day. I want to spend a couple of minutes on that next hour as well. Cliff Kingsbury was ranked where among all NFL coordinators? We'll tell you why, where, and when, and the reasoning next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.